This is More Money with economist Steve Moore. Now, Steve Moore.
Welcome back, folks. This is More Money. Thank you for spending some of your Saturday afternoon with me on 77 WBC Talk Radio. It is a privilege to talk to you every Saturday between 2 and 3 p.m. And I am now really privileged to introduce my next guest, Mark Marino, who is with Climate Depot, which is a daily hotline on the climate issues. And he has a great, great new book that I urge you all to read if you want to know the truth about climate change, if you want to know truth about the Green New Deal, which is high on Joe Biden's list of economic agenda items. And this book, write this down, folks, is Green Fraud. Green Fraud, Why the Green New Deal is Even Worse Than You Think. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Steve. Happy to be here today.
So your book must be great because I'm hearing rumors that Amazon is being pressured by the left to take this book off of Amazon. We cannot allow people to read Mark Marino's book. It is subversive. You're a climate change denier. Mark, there's something great when you get all these green groups at your throats, but congratulations on the new book.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I might be a victim of cancel culture. It's the Daily Coast, other climate activists going after Amazon because Amazon's called itself a climate champion. And how dare they sell a book critical of the Green New Deal? So we'll see. Amazon has actually been canceling other books, but it's been up now for 6 weeks, and I've actually outsold Bill Gates' book at different times. Bill Gates' book is the climate catastrophe book, and so this book is directly on target over the Green New Deal right now, and this is what Biden is pushing, of course.
So we're talking to Mark Marino, who's the author of Green Fraud. I urge everybody to read it. I just got it, and I've started reading it. It is chock full of amazing information. So, Mark, is there total consensus among scientists about how much the planet is supposedly going to warm? I saw the other day Greenpeace says 3 to 4 degrees, which is a lot. If we don't do something about climate change, is that the total consensus among all the scientists?
Well, there's many different claims of consensus, but what they're trying to do is scare us. And so what they say is when current reality fails to alarm, make scarier and scarier predictions of the future.
Right.
One of the things they've done, including the United Nations, including our own national climate assessment, they use extreme model scenarios to come up with, as you're mentioning, 4 degrees, 6 degrees. Yeah, I've seen 10 degrees, whatever it takes to scare the public into submission to UN agreements or climate pacts. But there really is no consensus. There's a high range, a mid range, a low range, and then there's just absolute descending where people say, we don't know what the future holds. It depends on solar activities, hundreds of factors. And I quote the actual climate activist scientists from the UN themselves. The climate temperature is made up of hundreds of factors.
Right.
So the idea that CO2, by the way, is one politically selected factor, is the control knob, is the heart of the debate, not whether CO2 can cause some warming. The question is, A, whether it's distinguishable from natural variability, and B, whether we're in a climate crisis or emergency. And on the latter, there is no evidence whatsoever, not only that we're in it, but that you could even support it 50 to 100 years, 200 years from now, any kind of climate emergency like they're declaring.
Already their models have been wrong, haven't they?
Yes, and that's one of the things I go through in the book is the climate models that they've done. I go back actually, in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, the UN scientists, all sorts of predictions came wrong. First Earth Day predictions came wrong. But generally, their models on climate of recent models, the last 10 years, are running extremely hot. It's down in the low percentages of 10, 20%, 30, up to 30%, that their models are that much hotter, 70% hotter than reality. And the problem is that's because they tune the models to what they want them to. And a big part of it is they tune them because the policy is what they're seeking. In other words, the science. When you hear Greta Thunberg, John Kerry talk about the science, that's usually code word for we don't really care about the science, and the science will be tortured and manipulated because these policy goals that we're trying to get to are why we need the science.
Well,
and that's
what
first
is their
clue that something's wrong.
What is their policy goal? to destroy capitalism?
That's a great question. Yeah, I cite you several times in the book, Steve, because we go back. I go back in the 1970s, the whole beginning of the degrowth movement, the whole idea of Thomas Malthus, the idea that we have all this resource scarcity. I go heavily into Paul Ehrlich. And the policy agenda, are you ready for this? This was the most shocking thing. You can go back to the overpopulation scare of Paul Ehrlich in the 1960s. You can go to the man-made global cooling scare in the 1970s, where they thought you know, before fossil fuels caused global warming, they caused global cooling. They thought we were our aerosols were dimming the sun. The exact same solution as the Green New Deal was proposed. Wealth redistribution, limiting freedom, international treaties, and just massive restrictions on human freedom, whether it was travel, the wealth, you name it. It's the exact same solution no matter what environmental scare.
So yes, you're right. I mean, I was fortunate enough to my first mentor in my life was Julian Simon, who debunked all of that stuff about we're running out of energy, we're running out of food, we're too many people on the earth. And I do remember originally when I got involved in this whole game, you know, it was global cooling, folks. They were talking about a second ice age in the 1970s. Now they're talking about the planet, you know, blowing up in a fireball. And so, you know, they've been consistently wrong in all their predictions for 50 years or so. Right. The subtitle of your book is Why the Green Deal is Worse Than You Think. Why is it worse than we think?
Well, in one word, lockdowns. And I spend two chapters in the book detailing this. The Green New Deal is much worse than we think. For that simple reason is the public, globally, domestically, we have been beaten down with the COVID-19 lockdowns, so much so that the UK House of Lords Speaker actually said that he was amazed at how compliant the public has been and accepting of all of these lockdown and restrictions on their travel and personal freedoms, that they now want to move in and essentially morph COVID lockdowns to climate lockdowns. And a Green New Deal is a big part of it. I go through and explain, you know, one a part of the COVID lockdown was stay-at-home orders, curfews, justifying to the government the essential services. Part of a climate lockdown under a climate emergency, they're talking about you'd only be able to fly when it's, quote, morally justifiable. You're going to have to justify to a government bureaucrat.
Mark, hold on just one second. Does that mean that John Kerry should be flying all over the world trying to I mean, he's emitting a lot of carbon in the atmosphere.
I go into the hypocrisy. No, this does not mean Al Gore, Leonardo DiCaprio, John Kerry, Bill Gates, who's buying the world's largest private jet. None of them will be affected. This is for the masses. This is for the the unwashed masses out there.
By the way, Mark, not long ago, I was in Aspen about three or four summers ago. And, you know, I drove by the Aspen airport and there were like 50 to 75 private jets there. And you know why? The Aspen Institute was having their climate change conference. And liberals flew in on their Lear jets, you know, where the little people like you and I and the people listening to the show, we have to either take the train or the bus or a commercial flight. And they're pontificating about how much they care about the environment. You're so right. These people are so hypocritical. Well, Mark, we are out of time. It's been a great interview. Thank you so much. And, you know, you can see, folks, that a lot of these climate change folks who are pretty hypocritical in their own behavior, and they want to really intrude on our life. I think this is an issue of liberty, not just saving the planet. So, Mark, I hope to have you on soon. That's Mark Marino. His great book is Great Green Fraud, Why the Green New Deal is Even Worse Than You Think. Okay, folks, it's time for the highlight of this show, at least for me. It's the More Money Economic Lesson of the Week. And this one is so pertinent to what's going on in America today. And this lesson is that no great country can borrow its way to prosperity. We are talking about a national debt that has now exceeded, in terms of its size, our entire national output for 1 year. So that is, our GDP is smaller now than our national debt. That should be concerning to every single American, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal conservative. We cannot continue to write IOUs. We cannot continue to put this burden on the backs of our children and grandchildren and our grandchildren's children. No great nation does that. You know this instinctively, that we cannot continue to borrow. No household can do that. No business can do that. If they do that, they will go bankrupt. And I will tell you, the historical lesson is very clear here. Big government does not lead to economic success. Almost everywhere it has been tried, it has failed. It failed in Cuba. It failed in Venezuela. It failed in Argentina. It failed in Russia and the Soviet Union. It has failed in China when they had communism. All over the world, big government with massive debts has led to bankruptcy. It has made people poor. Just look at what's happening in Venezuela, which was once one of the wealthiest countries in South America, where now the people are going hungry and are literally starving to death because of bad government. We need to go back to our founders' idea that the best way to prosperity is through free markets, individual liberty, and a constitutional republic. We cannot give that up. We cannot have a government that becomes our master. And as we increase the size of government, we are giving up our freedoms and we give up our prosperity. You all know that. And it is very seductive to think the government's going to give you something for free. But to summarize, as Ronald Reagan used to say, a government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you got. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of More Money. We'll see you next Saturday, same time, same station, 77 WABC Talk Radio.